was all a dream. I used to read Wizard magazine, Marvel versus DC. I don't wanna fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 473. One left, one back. It's crazy. We never have the same people here. So, I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Spencer.
Brandon. Wait, Spencer's way in the corner. He's afraid of the microphone.
Brandon.
Dave.
So, Mike is texting me even though he had to drop his car off at the repair shop. So, that's why he's not here.
Excuses.
I know. Some people. DC's made a ton of announcements. I didn't write them all down, but I saw they have a new Batgirl book coming. On FOC this week, we had three new Batman number ones. I'm like, wow. Everything's coming up Batman.
Isn't it Batgirls?
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
That could be.
And then there's a Mark Russell book, what's it called? One Star Squadron?
Yeah. Squadron. That was nice, and I saw a new Superman book. Which made me happy just in that it was, or no, World of Krypton, I think it is. I was just happy it wasn't a Batman book. Because, yeah, somebody was saying in this month's catalog, it's over 50% Bat titles.
One Star Squadron, that's such a brilliant name for a book.
Yeah, Mark Russell, Steve Lieber. Yeah, and then Spencer was just saying Jeff Lemire's doing a new Black Label Swamp Thing book.
Yep.
So they're definitely throwing a lot of stuff out there. Sadly, it's a lot of miniseries. Not sadly, but it's just really hard. Those are hard to order. You never seem to get it right. And then, whereas with an ongoing, you're going to have a chance to get caught up and still sell the number ones later. With minis, you're kind of one and done.
And then, like you always say, you have to have the first couple issues, you know, ordered before knowing what you need for the whole series.
So you're guessing along the way, but... yeah, so at least they're coming out with a bunch of new stuff. I just saw today Hellions is ending from Marvel. They're like, oh, we planned this all along. I'm like, that's fine. Just you didn't mention it was a miniseries, you know, or a maxi series, you know.
We planned it all along. We knew at some point
we'd get canceled.
Hickman would quit. And
yeah, that's definitely.
And we'd have to redo the whole.
That is messing a lot of stuff up for them. Like, well, so none of that stuff from House of X is going to come to fruition?
Well, that's their own fault for thinking that they were going to do something big with Hickman and they go on without a hitch. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's what they get for thinking that's going to happen.
If they just would have kept it as the X-Men book, they would have been fine.
Yeah, but by making a whole...
Yeah. By making 40 books out of it. Crushed under its own weight.
Well, and I've liked those couple issues of the new X-Men book with Duggan writing. I've liked those couple issues more than most of the past, you know, out of all the, you know, what I've read out, you know, at this last slew of stuff. Yeah. Again, I haven't read a whole bunch of it, but what I have read, you know.
Those are still sitting in my stack. I'll read them eventually.
Yeah, numbers have definitely dropped once he left. Hey, Paul. I don't really remember any other news.
Did any Grendel books spike? Because they announced a Netflix show.
Who knows, yeah.
But like the ones from 30 years ago.
Right, but nobody has them because they were real small print runs.
So.
Yeah, I'm sure they're shooting up in value, but they're not to
I
be found.
I have that. The Comico Prime.
Oh, nice.
I have that issue with the first appearance of Grendel.
Okay.
See, like, I would see that character on, but I never knew what the deal with the character was. Superhero, or is it like a, like, is he just like a Batman kind of guy with, like, you know, just normal guy
just
with a whole bunch of skills?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the story is either with the character, honestly.
No, Hunter Rose. Yeah, it was always intriguing to me, but never read any of it.
Yeah.
Isn't he a Daredevil ripoff?
I don't think so. He's like an... I don't know. I don't want to guess on what he is. It was intriguing, but I never read it. I know they've done a couple things recently, but none of them have sold real great.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's definitely got his fans, and maybe the show will be great. So, yeah, I remember reading about him, and it sounded really interesting. And then they had the omnibuses, and I was tempted, but, mm-hmm. you know, when am I going to read an omnibus? So. But, yeah, other than that, Shang-Chi is doing well, and at least reviews have been very, very positive for that.
I haven't seen it.
No, no, I'm not paying $30 to watch it at home.
I saw it. It was good.
It was good. Yeah, I know Tim saw it, and he liked it, yeah.
I didn't have no like real connection with the character, so they could basically, you know.
See, that's my problem is I love the book and I love the character, and I know the movie's not going to have anything to do with the character. Yeah. So, because the book was a British spy book.
Yeah.
So I knew they weren't going that way.
No, they lean more into like the kung fu, like mystical kind of stuff.
But yeah, that's about. Yeah, I don't remember any of the news. I need to start writing this stuff down. You know. Never think to remember it. Yeah, it's like new book coming. You know, that happens a lot. So. New previews next week, so we'll learn about a whole lot more. Yay.
Maybe Batman will be up to 60% of the
Yeah,
the
could book. Be. Could be. We'll see in the new previews next week, yeah. Or, I'm sorry, the DC... I forget what they even call it.
I just hope there's a new Claws book this year, but I don't think there's going to be.
If it was coming out in December, it'll be in the October book. So yeah, so there might
be till October.
So I haven't heard anything about one though.
Is this the month you're switching over to? We have to switch over to Marvel.
Yeah, we are. We had to do our first order for that Monday. hiccups, but we'll figure it out. My problem working remote is I'm looking at a very small screen because I'm looking at my 21-inch monitor on a 13-inch laptop screen. And everything uploaded fine, and I'm looking, and everything seemed fine, and it was a little complicated. Like, you couldn't see the variants. You had to click on the parent book to see the variants, to see your orders and everything. And everything looked right to me, like the number was right and everything uploaded and what I looked at was right. So then I finalized it. I got the confirmation, which was not good. Here, I'll show you a picture. Somebody posted on. Not what we're used to, where we're used to Hulk 50, Anderson variant, you know, things like that. This is how the confirmation came. So, you know, it's Hulk followed by a ton of numbers.
Yeah.
So you don't know what cover that was or things like that. It was just, it was useless. But when I looked at it, I was thinking, well, wait a minute. I should have had some ones, especially like under Star Wars, because there was like a 1 in 50 on one and things like that. And I realized for some reason, none of my ratio variant orders went. So it was too late. It was after midnight, so there's nothing I could do to adjust it. So I emailed them, and they actually took care of it, which is great. I'm like, I qualified for all these. I uploaded these, but for some reason it didn't go in, and I just didn't notice. So, and I know some other people are saying doing it. If you didn't just upload something and actually did it on the website, entering everything took forever. Because, like, you'd hit one, enter, and it would take 30 seconds to receive, and then you go to the next item. And then there was also problems like if you sorted it alphabetically and then you went back, like you went to click the item and then back to get away from the variants, it unalphabetized and you had to resort, and it just sounded, somebody didn't look at it from our side.
Yeah,
like they're looking at on their side. And
do they have at least have like a portal where you can report stuff like that?
No, I just sent an email to a rep, so which was fine. But baby steps, so we'll see. My biggest concern is shipping. So just because they're saying, oh, we're going to use smaller boxes. I'm like, okay, but smaller boxes are also much more easier thrown and thrown greater distances.
And can't pack as much to protect from
Well, as long as they're strong boxes, but if they're from what I've seen so far, from what they've sent, I like I said, I got one big trade graphic novel order, and half of it was damaged, just from poor packing. So it's a little concerning. But yeah, they said their boxes are going to be like a quarter the size of our boxes, so it's going to be. Yeah, I'm just like, oh, that's going to be a lot of boxes and potential for chaos. So we'll see. First week in October will be very, very interesting. So that's all I got really for news and stuff. Batman Day is Saturday. I don't know what I'm doing. It's Batman Day. It's a Barnes & Noble holiday. So,
they give you masks and
no, and they never gave us masks. We had to buy those, and like a pack of 25 masks was $25. And it's like, yeah, thanks, guys. So I got some books, but not much. I think I just ordered one bundle of each, so like 25 copies of each book that they did. Because one is for a video game, another one is for that Batman the World that came out this week. It's like, okay. And then there's a Fortnite one without a code. I'm like, nobody's going to care. All they wanted that book for was the code. You know, it's whatever. So we'll see. So, Spencer. I'll let you start. I think we made Dave start last time.
Okay.
Panicked. He was scared. I wanted to let him get ready.
Okay, so Green Lantern's annual. This one was mostly, basically a Jessica Cruz, story showing, continuing from how in a previous issue in the Green Lantern title, how
that was
she,
a while ago.
Yeah, how she was, like, trapped in that station and there was, like, three yellow lanterns, like, going through and, like, how she defeated them and took her ring, so she was taking them back to, Sinestro's planet, and while she did that, she got into a fight with some other lanterns, and Sinestro liked what he saw, so now he's offering her a position, you know, in his corpse. So she's having trouble figuring out what to do with that. So I think she eventually, because like there's no more Green Lanterns right now, so she accepts for now, or at least until. Sinestro can assign a new lantern to protect Earth sector, whatever the I forget the number. 2814. So she's there, and she notices a there's like this huge spaceship that's like filled with like refuse from another planet or whatever, and it's something's wrong, like it there's a breach in it or something, and it looks like it's gonna crash. So she goes and tries to save it, and then she runs into Hal Jordan, and they get into an argument because she's upset that she's a yellow lantern now. But once they stop fighting long enough to save the ship, and then they kind of basically come to an understanding that that's what she's gonna be a yellow lantern for at least now, and they kind of come to like I said a mutual understanding. But it was a pretty decent annual. Jessica Cruz is a pretty interesting character whenever, you know, done right, and I think with her being a yellow lantern without having like the, you know, her own issues with like fear and stuff like that, I think that's a cool like little wrinkle. And then I read just the regular Green Lantern, number 6. This one though, that I can't remember as much what happened into it.
Yeah, it had another bad cover where it was Teen Lantern, like, yeah. In a boxing ring,
yeah, and like everybody, like everybody else knocked out and stuff like that. But I think it was basically the Lantern from the Far Sector series, and Baz. Was going to try to save the Teen Lantern because she was, like, freaking out over something on another planet. But like I said, I can't really remember that issue as much. And then Amazing Spider-Man 73. This one was kind of confusing to me. I don't know, because they were doing, like, a weird thing with, like, the Kindred reveal. Like, they kept on having, like, a couple, like, they had, like, he took off his mask, and it was, like, Jean, and then it was Norman, and then, like, I don't know if they're playing around with the, I think they're trying to do something with the kids that Norman supposedly had with Gwen Stacy.
Oh,
jeez. Leave
that alone.
So I'm hoping in this last issue it clears that up a little bit, or I might have to go, like, searching on YouTube for, like, one of those, like, explanation videos that, you know, that people have to do sometimes for stuff.
That's
but,
what you want in Spider-Man.
Yeah, right, so, and then...
That was the Marvel and other Marvel news I saw today. There's going to be a Ben Reilly...
Yeah, GMB Mateus doing that,
yeah. And then I think anything else that I read, I think you guys probably read, so I'll let you guys talk about it.
Right. Leaving stuff for Dave.
Oh no.
I don't want to be hog first episode back, you know, don't.
I read Conan number 25,
ooh,
which was
no,
also thrown in the 300.
Yes.
Even though that makes absolutely no sense.
The return of Belit.
I don't think they're counting any of the Dark Horse books.
Well, no, they don't.
Marvel
went 275, yes.
Yeah. So,
if they go up to 275, wow. Yeah.
But are they counting all of the, like, miscellaneous Conan books that they put out? Because
no.
This
just
is the main series.
Just the main.
Yeah, it's like...
Conan.
Isn't there, like, Savage Conan and, like...
Savage Sword of Conan, yeah. That's the... Is that the one that went 275?
King Conan? No, just Conan.
Conan.
Conan the Barbarian.
Because Savage Sword went for a long time, right?
Yeah, but that wasn't Marvel.
Oh, that wasn't Marvel? Who was that? That was...
Or unless it was Marvel magazines, yeah.
Okay,
so
that was the
that
big
was like
oversight.
A Black Point magazine,
yeah,
or something.
So that doesn't count.
Yeah. You got a couple over there. I'm trying to...
Yeah, that was might have been. Yeah, that was probably Marvel, but it was different.
Yeah,
totally different.
Yeah. So this was broken up into four different stories. There's one by Zub, who's been writing the main book, and he's the one who has the Belit story. And then there was one by Larry Hama, and. Dan Slott and Christopher Priest. But does he not go by Christopher Priest anymore?
No, he does. I thought he does.
Because he's in there as... is it James Christopher Oswell or something like
Owsley.
That?
Owsley. Okay, that's
Owsley.
What he used to... That's what his name was before.
Okay.
Before he started going by Christopher Priest, so I don't know if he's going back.
Because this one, on the book itself, it's... The
yeah, it
Owsley.
Yeah, it was Jim Owsley.
But then on the page it says Priest, a.k.a. or something like
okay.
that. Or maybe formerly known as, is it F.K.A.?
Yeah.
Like
I don't know.
Wow.
But,
unless it was an old story. I don't know.
Because he's been around for forever.
Yeah, but originally when he was an editor at Marvel, it was Jim Owsley. And then I think when he became a writer, it became Christopher Priest. So.
That's the same guy. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, the...
You learned something new. See,
wow,
tune in.
Very educational.
You might learn something.
Very educational, this podcast.
Yeah. The first story was super lame. It's in issue 24 of Conan, that he's on a ship, and the navigator, like, goes crazy, and, like, basically sails them into a storm, and Conan has to, like... sail him out of the storm, and he sees these, like, symbols in the storm that are, like, pointing to a certain direction, and he doesn't pay any attention to them because he's Conan. And in this issue, it's years later, he's met Belit, and she's like basically a pirate, so they're on this island where these symbols also appear at this temple. They go in the temple, and there's all these, like, warriors, like, entombed, like, along the side, signs of the entrance. and they're all from like different nationalities. Like they all have different like, you know, kit on, different helmets and such. So it's like clear that they're from all over. They came to this place. They go deep inside, and there are these three orbs, and they're like, "Whoa! If these orbs are silver, it's going to be, you know, quite a fortune." And so Conan looks at the orbs, and then they do like a flashback of like all his adventures.
Okay.
So you see, like the snake from the god in what is it? God in a bottle. The alien. That looks like an elephant. I can't remember what that story's from. But like all the like scenes from all the classic Robert E. Howard stories.
So it's like a clip share.
Yeah, well, it's just like a good two pager. It's him like going okay. Oh, and you see him as King Conan and all kinds of stuff. But so out of these orbs, his past self. And his future self, right, King Conan, they come out, and Belit Fire, she fights the young Conan and kills him, and you know current like middle age Conan, he's probably in his 30s, fights King Conan and defeats him, and like it was just like the whole thing was just a setup for him to fight himself, which was. Just kind of stupid. And then the next one was Larry Hama, and it takes place right after the Frost Giant's daughter. If you're familiar with that story,
no, I've heard of it,
like,
but never.
So in that story, Conan's in a battle. He's like the only person to survive. He's like wandering into like the winter, and this. Naked lady appears to him and he like starts to follow her, and then he's attacked by these two frost giants and he murders them as Conan does, and then he's mad because this the frost giant's daughter like tempted him to like tricked him into following. Mm-hmm. So after that, after he kills these things, he goes back to where he was. He finds the people who were in his army who didn't die, and then they have like another battle. And so this is like, I believe it's like right after that second battle, at the end of that story, there are these like three guys who are like from the whatever army, and he tells them the story, and then like. Whatever he ends up killing them. That's like really kind of like all these stories are like four pages, so like none of them are that great. Dan Slott's was a completely silent one. It's Conan like it starts where he's like clearly like very drunk. It's a young Conan because he's got the helmet on, the Marvel helmet. He's drunk and like there's no words, but it's basically him like going on a quest. Saving a like a damsel, stealing an egg, and then like it's the next day he wakes up and he's like he's clearly had a good evening with the damsel, and then he looks in his pocket and he's got this like giant egg and he has no like clue where it came from, and then I can't really remember the Christopher Priest one, but none. They're all too short to be, like, good.
Okay.
But the next book I read, I really liked. Mark Russell book, I believe it's called Dreadbox.
Deadbox, yeah. Okay. Like Redbox.
Yeah, like Redbox. Get it? Yeah, that's why I thought it was Dreadbox. Mm.
Deadbox,
okay.
Deadbox, yeah.
Yeah. So, what's Lost, what was the name of the town? Lost Turkey?
Lost Turkey, yes.
Yeah. So, there's the book's about this character who's, and I think it's going to be an anthology, like all in set the same town but different.
There was the movie.
Yeah. So she is this, like a college student who is working at like a 7-Eleven where this Dreadbox is, and she can't go back to college even though she was supposed to, like that day, because she's taking care of her father who's sick. And she kind of, he's dying, but she doesn't want to admit it. And you see a couple characters come in to the thing, and she decides that she'll entertain herself by getting a book or a movie, a DVD, out of this dread box.
Yeah.
And there are movies like the, nobody has ever heard of before.
Yeah. Right. So they're very, the movie she gets is this like very Twilight Zone-y science fiction movie,
yeah.
Which honestly the this was where it like really took off yeah. for me. So the story is basically the humans have or humanity has had a first contact with is it the Kregels? What are they called?
They're like Greleks or something like that.
Grelins?
Grelak or something like that.
Yeah. So anyway, this species.
We're in the like the year 2100 or something.
Yeah,
too.
they're contacting humanity, and we're starting to have a conversation, you know, through space. So humanity wants to meet these people and have an interaction with them face to face, not just through this. And like over time, like we're influencing each other, and our cultures are becoming, you know, we're becoming more and more culturally similar. But because of how far away they are, even our fastest ship at light speed will take 200 years to get there. But to the whoever is the passenger in it, it's only going to seem like 50. So they put a guy on a ship, or they like do a search to find the right guy to send. You know,
yeah, it looks like
kind of an all the right stuffs kind of moment.
Yeah.
And
look more like a America's Got Talent or something.
Yeah. Exactly, this like
selection process.
Yeah, he's kind of a what's the from Futurama, the guy who doesn't have pants, Captain. He reminded me of that guy.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I
forget
yeah.
his name. I know who you're talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah, that's what it reminded me of. So they send him, and he basically goes crazy during this 50-year journey because he's by himself, like isolated. So when he comes out of the ship, everyone's excited to meet him, and in their culture, they're like, they're very focused on like food and manners. So they've prepared this whole spread for him, and they, you know, they're expecting to have this like amazing, you know, cultural moment with him because they've been getting all this Earth culture through, you know, the airwaves for 200 years.
Josh,
how's it going, everyone?
Good,
hey, Josh.
How you feeling?
Good. Good, yeah. Last time I saw you, I was mid-heart attack, yeah.
Best you've ever seen.
Yeah, well, thanks. Appreciate it.
No. So, yeah, he gets there, and he's completely, you know, unkept, and they basically, they hustle him right off. And
that was so funny this year.
Yeah, you can go right on back.
Yeah, you can go right on back. So... so after the movie, you see her and she goes in to like give her dad like his medicine or something, and they have a discussion about like, oh, you shouldn't stay here for me or whatever. And you see that he has put a glass or he puts like a glass or something on a DVD case called the Disappearing Man
the
or something.
Vanishing
the Vanishing Man.
Yeah.
So it's clear that like.
It looks like he's disintegrating, like in his skeleton.
Yeah, so he's very sickly, but it's clear that like for in his case that this like this DVD has cursed him in some way.
Yeah.
So which is weird because it's like in the next issue, are they gonna stay on this girl and show like what her curse was from because she watched this weird.
Yeah.
Movie?
Yeah, yeah.
Or are we going to just see somebody else take a different DVD?
Yeah.
Or, like, is she going to be in the background?
Yeah.
Like, I'm really intrigued
like
on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's both.
Yeah. So, I really dug this. This was, like, it had a very Twilight Zone-y vibe.
Oh, definitely.
And, like, whereas, like, Silver Coin I liked because it's like a Twilight Zone-y but very much like horror.
Yeah.
This was like pure science fiction.
Yeah.
So
it was really well done.
And it's Mark Russell, so it's funny as well as like you know, thought provoking, and
yeah,
it's really good.
Yeah, there's a lot about philosophy, and she's reading, and
yeah,
I'm sure it will work its way into the stories at some point.
The last thing I read was Geiger number 6. Did you read Geiger?
Yeah.
Yeah. I read the last three issues like all together, so I might run it together in my mind, but this is the end of the first arc, and Geiger has like rescued the children, one of whom has leukemia, from like the remaining it's like NORAD, I think, like whatever is left of the United States of America that took the kids in because they had the nuclear football. He broke them out in the last issue, and now he had to like fight this robot that was like, it was kind of a robot Captain America named Joe, and I guess they're gonna do a miniseries for this.
Well, in this last preview book, there was like a thing for like an 80 page giant kind of thing. So no. I think that's gonna have like a couple like short stories of some of the other like side characters.
Yeah, because this was like book one, right? And then I think they're doing that 80 page giant.
Yeah,
and maybe that Joe character is part of that, or is it a separate thing?
I don't know.
I'm not sure. But
I think he's trying to build like almost like a. Like,
he's,
you know,
I think he's going to do the Black Hammer thing.
Yeah, probably.
Where it's like they're all standalone, but I don't know. Personally, I'm not down with that. I'd much rather have just a regular ongoing series, but I don't know. It seems like they're setting it up so that he leaves the children with whoever helped him when he had his. When he was the glowing man and couldn't control it, so he's left them with whoever those people are. They like refuse to let him in, so there's clearly like some bad blood between them. But they'll take his children from him. So, he leaves them with them, and then he goes and fights the king of Las Vegas and like basically blows him up. And then I think from this arc has been told by two guys like on a like around a campfire, so like they're clearly talking about like events of the past, but he's like, oh, so the guy died, and he's like, oh no, his story went on much further, so it seems like they're gonna send him probably like on a trek across the country or something like that through this whole Mad Max type of wasteland. So I don't know. This book, the quality of this book is like really good, but I don't know that how they do it is going to really depend on whether I stick up with it or not, because I don't know that I'm super interested in every like aspect of the universe. Like, I don't know that it's, so anyway, that was it for me.
I'll start with another Mark Russell
book. Don't
Josh
intimidate you, come on, dude. He won't yell.
Dave?
Not like the old times.
I love Dave. I never yelled at Dave.
Josh never yelled at me. Second Coming.
Not yet. No, I have him. And there's
number 4.
Yeah. Because I need to read. I think I need to read 4 and 5 or whatever the numbers are.
Yeah, 4 is 4 and 5 came out today.
Yeah. Yeah.
This was excellent. It starts with. The mom, I don't know if it's Sunstar's mom or his wife's mom, but Agnes, but she is going on she's at the retirement home, and they get on a bus to go to the casino, and while she's gone, the head of the retirement home has a meeting with Sunstar and his wife that they want to evict her because she's tried to escape 3 times from the retirement home, and then Jesus intercedes, and he tells a story when he had dinner with a Pharisee, and a woman came up who was thrown out of her house for sin, and he talks about the power of forgiveness, which was really good, and they should forgive Agnes for this. Then we get to the other part. There's at the end. There's an earthquake in the city, and it's initiated by Sunstar's enemy Cranius, not Brainiac, Cranius, from a moon. From the moon, and he has a beam that goes falls with the tectonic plates, and there's a big earthquake. And at this point, Jesus is meeting with his disciples. And it ends in tragedy because one of his, which is like two guys and a girl that he met in the previous issue who works for the theme park company. And the disciple Phil saves Jesus' life and gets killed. So we'll see how that affects Jesus in this next issue. It was really good. Blue and Gold.
Okay, I took them home to read.
Blue Beetle and Booster Gold. I've been waiting 35 years
right.
for this book since Justice League International.
And was it worth it?
It was worth it. It's Dan Jargon's writing it and Ryan Sook on the art. And in the first issue, they have to rescue the Justice League from this spaceship over Metropolis, who's kidnapped them. And they see it as their ticket to get into the Justice League, is full membership. But at the end, they just offer membership to Blue Beetle, and not Booster. And
understandable.
And Blue Beetle doesn't want to join. He's loyal to his buddies, so he turns them down. And this issue, it starts with a chase. They are someone. There's a Cord Industries truck with tech in it, and it's self-driving. Has a self-driving software, and it's been hijacked by these terrorists. And they have Booster tied up on the top, and Blue Beetle's chasing after him in his new buggy, his new Dune buggy, because the bug was destroyed in the first issue. And they have to stop the hijackers, and then Booster decides he wants to get sponsorship for his own Blue and Gold Restoration, for their own company to help, his own superhero company to help, so him and Beetle can help the little people. But things go bad when Ted goes to the board meeting and they get rid of him off the company because of the self-driving software mishap. So now they don't have money, but it does have that feel of the Justice League JLI books, okay, which I love. And the other one is a new one already, Last Flight Out.
Okay, it's in the pile.
From Dark Horse. I thought it was really good. It's Mark Guggenheim. Writes this. It's about we're in the future and the Earth is uninhabitable for reasons they don't really explain. A little bit about climate change, but they don't really explain the reasons. And Earth is evacuating on three huge arcs designed by this Dr. Kaywood. And we're 24 hours before the launch of the last arc. We learn more about the doctor. He had 20 years ago, he had a daughter, and 2 years after that, his wife died in a car accident. And since then, he's kind of been an absentee dad because all his interest has been designed in these arcs. So humanity could go off Earth. And 24 hours before the launch, he finds out his daughter, Sarah. She went missing in Chicago. And no offense, call them what they call. They call Chicago the Ninth Circle of Hell at this point in Earth's history. So he has to go get his daughter. So he gets this military team on this military helicopter to fly to, I guess, from New York to Chicago. And there's a mishap there, and the copter crashes. Now they're on foot. to try to find the daughter before they have to launch, and if they, they're going to leave her there if they can't get back in time. I thought it was really well done.
Okay.
It was really tense. They did a good job with that. That's all I got.
Okay. So there was a new one from Aftershock called The Search for Who. And
Doctor Who?
No, H-U. And it's about this guy and his Chinese parents have a restaurant, and they're doing well, and then all of a sudden it gets all shot up, and he goes to help them, and they had each been shot. And it turns out mom's family was, like, the two sides of her family, one was Jewish, it's Chinese. It was really weird. I was not following how there were Jewish Chinese, but apparently they got into a fight with the Chinese people, the Who, and all this stuff going on. It was just that part of it I found to be very weird, with the Jewish aspect of it into the Chinese culture. But basically it's this long feud, and she had kind of gone into hiding when she got married, and now they found out. Batman 112 kind of just going. It's like,
I like this issue better than the previous issue,
okay,
because I think they're finally getting to it. Like, you know
right,
what I mean?
But
they're,
like,
finally getting to it.
Batman's been doing all this stuff, but also at the same time he's been captured by Scarecrow, and Scarecrow has done something to his brain, and now he doesn't trust himself.
Yeah, because it's like something with the ferrotoxin plus, like, some other tech, like some new
Yeah,
guy.
So, just, yeah. And then the Unsanity Collective escaped, but the little girl got hurt, so they ran down and dumped them all with Ivy. So there's this whole thing with trying to find Ivy, and Ivy's broken into two different people now. And
she's like, what, Queen Ivy?
Is yeah, Queen Ivy, but then I guess Catwoman is with Innocent Ivy. It's very confusing. And it's kind of like Simon Saint, his thing is starting to fall apart because Peacekeeper 01 has kind of gone rogue, and it looks like he's about to kill all these people.
Yeah, because I think he also got hit with some fear toxin. Too,
yeah.
So he's like freaking out.
So, lots going on.
I enjoyed this issue more with them actually kind of getting into it a little bit more. So,
yeah. May's book is a new one from Dark Horse from Jeff Lemire, and he drew it as well, which was good. But you're basically following this building inspector who life has not gone well. He's older and just kind of going through his days. He can't even remember his daughter. Something happened with his daughter. And
they
he
don't spell that out.
No,
do that, right?
And he can't even remember her face anymore.
Yeah,
he feels
bad about that. Right.
So it's just kind of going. And then at the end, his phone keeps ringing. And it says unknown caller, and he doesn't answer it. And finally he does answer it, and it's her saying that she's stuck in the middle of this labyrinth and needs help.
It was so interesting because at the first page he starts telling the story about this wool sweater. This wool sweater that
she used to wear that had holes in it.
And then you follow that. Just, it was real interesting art, what he did with the art and the string. You know, it kind of goes throughout the whole book. That's the string, this loose thread from the sweater.
He's going to try to follow.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was good. Nice House on the Lake. I read issues 3 and 4.
I read that too.
Really good. So I'm going to merge some of the plot points. But they're starting to come to grips with what's going on. But then they're worried that they're not going to have enough food. And they're like, well, I'm sure he had a plan for that. Another guy is going off and kind of searching the grounds and realizes that there's like a barrier that they're behind, but it's not round. There's angles to it, and he finds another building, which I didn't quite understand that. He's finding all these statues and stuff.
Yeah.
Then they discover that whatever they write on this pad of paper, they'll get. So, you know, they start off one apple, and the next day an apple appeared. And so they start doing that. They also realized, I think if they wrote their name on it, they could order things just for themselves. And this one guy's having fun ordering all these costumes and stuff, and this one girl who's really struggling because her husband's out there and she's by herself, and she first wrote down her husband's name wanting that, and then other things, then finally, like, I want a gun, a knife, a razor, you know, like she wants to kill herself.
Yeah.
And so finally, the one guy who's been ordering all this stuff for himself, like he ordered, you know, Detective 27 and Action Number 1, and you see him sitting there reading them. He orders a straight, she was trying to get a straight razor, and it wouldn't give her anything. And he ordered one and then gave it to her. So we'll see where that's going. But yeah, this has been good.
But they figure out they can't kill themselves.
Yeah, that was at the very end. The guy takes the razor and slits his throat, and nothing happens.
Yeah,
so,
oh my gosh, it's so good.
Yeah. So that's been good. The art's been amazing.
Yeah. I can't wait to see what the ending of this book is.
Well, you're gonna have to wait.
Yeah, a long time.
I know, but man, it's just,
well, it's like somebody was asking me today if I'd read Strange Adventures. I said I started, but it's bi-monthly, and it's, you know, taken 2 years. No, I gave up a long time ago.
Well, they're on like the last issue.
Yeah,
right?
They're getting there. Yeah, so I'll get caught up.
I think Rorschach ends next week.
No, this week.
This weekend. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Rorschach was the only one that was like on a monthly schedule.
Yeah. The Me You Love in the Dark. Scotty Young wrote this. I didn't know what to make of it or anything. What a weird title. Really, really good. It's about this girl who's an artist, and she's looking for just a house to paint in. And the agent's like, oh, you don't want to look at this one. It's haunted and stuff. She's like, ooh, that sounds great. So she moves into there. And she's just totally blocked. She can't. She's, you know, just staring at the canvas. And then all of a sudden, the house speaks to her, and she freaks out. So this continues. She's talking to it, and it's actually, they're getting to be, I don't want to say friendly, but they're conversing. And it turns out that she's like this pop artist and wants to do something more. And that's why she's kind of come here to advance her career, kind of. So talking with this guy is kind of interesting. At one point he does something, but he has to make it dark during the day in the house and does that. So she then draws this painting of a man without a face, kind of, no real defined features. And he's like, I really like that. And it's like you see him behind her in this, you know, really creepy face. But then later on, it's like all these eyes and things. So you don't know exactly what's going on. But it's been really interesting. Mm-hmm. The last book you'll ever read, this is from Vault, this is Cullen Bunn, and it's basically this lady wrote a book, and it's about how humans have been suppressing their savage side, but it's going to come to a head, and people's savageness is going to start coming out, and then all of a sudden she gets attacked at this reading, and a police officer's killed, and it's... this person, like, their eyes are bleeding, and they're saying, you know, we're going to get you, because you're, you know, like, revealing secrets and stuff. And later on, it's kind of, you get a glimpse of her, and there's something weird with her, like she's a demon or something, too, that's doing this. So, interesting. Not quite sure where it's going. But this book that she read, like, if you read it, you start changing. And then the last one I read was bizarre, only because I feel out of the loop on it. It's Kazar, number one. Where apparently he died during Empire with the not Chitauri, what were they called? Whatever those plant people.
Oh yeah.
And now he's back, and his son has some sort of plant thing on his wrist that he can shoot like flower petals at things, because he and Zabu were like running from a Tyrannosaurus Rex or something. But then it turns out it was like a dead Tyrannosaurus Rex because it was rotting. There was a lot I wasn't following in this, it kind of lost me in the middle where Kazar was going to help, and all of a sudden you see him bending down, and he's like, oh, the weight, I can't deal with the weight, and then he turns into like a woolly mammoth. And it's like, oh, so Kazar's now Animal Man. How unique. Where he can now take on he has the powers of animals that he can
Manimal.
Conjure up. So, yeah, I definitely felt like I was stepping into the middle of a story, even though it's a number one, and I don't think there's been a Kazar book in years.
I don't remember Kazar.
I liked it back in the 80s. I remember reading Kazar. But,
yeah.
So, that's all that I read. But I read a lot. It was just a lot of ones and twos. Why is Tim texting me? Oh. So, since Pat's not here to ask, what's coming out next week? We have Aquaman the Becoming, a miniseries involving Aquaman's son. Batman 113, Continuing Fear State. We have Batman Secret Files, Miracle Molly, which is also a Fear State tie-in because she's a big part of it. Catwoman is a Fear State tie-in, and Nightwing is a Fear State tie-in. And then Suicide Squad, King Shark, because he was the favorite part of the movie for everybody. Okay. And kind of a weird week of books. Not weird, but just like the entire first page, there was nothing to highlight, only because it's a lot of, you know, next issues. Alien 7, Black Hammer Visions 8, the last issue of that. But we got The Death of Doctor Strange, first of a 5-issue miniseries, and he's never coming back, especially because he has a movie coming out, but he's going to die. Or no, I guess they're just working on the movie, but he's going to be in the Spider-Man movie, so we'll figure that out.
Yeah.
Fantastic Four.
Or is it a variant of Doctor Strange?
Fantastic Four 36, which is interesting because 35 was today, so yeah. At least they didn't ship the same day, I guess.
Well, we did also get the life story today, too.
True,
so.
True. Yeah. Frontiersman number one. This is a new one from Image about a guy that he's like a rugged frontiersman. And he goes to work for this like Greenpeace and then realizes that it's not all it's cracked up to be. Guardians of the Galaxy is a last Annihilation tie-in. He Who Fights with Monsters. This is a new one from Ablaze. So that one, at least the covers look good. King Spawn number two.
That one, it seems like when you used to go to the DVD store and like Thor would have just come out. So there's like, there's that knockoff Thor. This is, knockoff.
This one's not,
killing the children.
This is about monsters in World War II. Marjorie Finnegan, Temporal Criminal number 5, and Trade Paperback volume 1. Excuse me, sorry. This was for Pat, darn it. Mullet Cop number 1 is next week. New previews is next week, which, yeah, and previews orders are due next week, I think, so like a week early, only because it's a long month. Star Wars Adventures, Ghost of Vader's Castle, they do this every year. It's a weekly, like a Star Wars Adventures, but like horror stories kind of book. And Bounty Hunters is the War of the Bounty Hunters tie-in. TMNT, The Last Ronin, number 4. Finally coming out. We have X-Corp number 5, X-Men number 3, X-Men Legends number 7, and X-Men Onslaught Revelation. Following up Onslaught, but I guess this is spinning out of Way of X that I didn't read.
Did they give a date for the 5th TMNT book?
Oh, I wouldn't pay attention to it if they did. Okay. Probably 3 months from now. You know, that's how long it's taken. So that's what we got coming out next week. Batman Day is Saturday, so we'll do something Batman-y. Can't have Harry wear the costume. Keep up with me. The website's PittsburghComics.com. Facebook is Pittsburgh Comics. Twitter and Instagram are PGH Comics. And Brandon, since you're here,
that's a podcast.
We'll talk at you next week. See you.